upon a leader's deed.
Praise the Lord. Lift up your hands with me as we pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We bless you, Jesus Christ, committing our service, the message that is coming today. On today, we pray that through the word, you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. You know why I stopped the next soloist, and we are not going to play according to what the church members want. The church members want to come late, and we are not going to use music to wait for people. We want to stick to what we believe and the purpose, so that those who really believe in the vision will come to church on time and enjoy all the music. Are you understanding me? So we will not just use music to be waiting for the late comers. That is a defeatist approach. Amen. So I encourage all of you who have developed the commitment to come to church on time to keep it up, so that you enjoy the full blessings of God. And we must do it such that it will affect the others who always come to church late. Because some people come to church for just 5 minutes, and others come at the tail end of the message, maybe 1 minute, 2 minutes, and they join the Bible studies and they go home for the rest of the week. That is why we are not seeing so many strong Christians in our days, because the commitment is weak. Praise the Lord. Did you hear me?
Yes.
I said the commitment is what? All right. I'm going to continue from where I ended last week. I engage in a lot of preaching, and therefore my voice is a little bit hoarse. But I'm praying that God will give me the grace. And this week too is another busy week. You know that we are having 4-day prayer and fasting for the nation Ghana. And for this one, I entreat all of you to come, because it concerns every one of us. It is not about party, and it's not about anybody's supporter. It is about the nation. Hallelujah. You see, the nation is at a very critical moment in our lives, that we decide for who rules the nation the next 4 years. And this decision, the devil will do everything to influence it. And Christians should also do everything to bring the hand of God into this, so that the right person will be chosen. And when the nation receives the right person, the nation Ghana can fulfill the purpose of God. Amen. Amen. So put aside everything. You may be saying, well, I'll be going to market so that I get some money and for the Christmas. I tell you, if you get all the money this month, and for the next 4 years, you are going to live in bad policies that will take away all your money, it wouldn't take you anywhere. Hallelujah. So come around, let us pray. And if you pray your heart out, and whoever wins, you will be at peace, because you know that you prayed and God has chosen the one he wants. Is that right?
Yes.
So this week, every one of us, please, lift my voice up, give me volume, so that I wouldn't strain my voice. So this week, all of us are coming from 6 to 8:30, then we are out of here. Everybody should come. Amen. 6 o'clock, then prayers will be going on here. All right. And last week we were talking about running with horses or horsemen, and we made a lot of definitions. I'm not going to go into today. We took our passage from the book of Jeremiah. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 12. Is that right? All right. Verse 5. And it says that if you get tired while racing against people, how can you race against horses? If you stumble in the country that is safe, what will you do in the thick thorn bushes along the Jordan River? Amen. I forgot to officially let you know that our resident pastor, Reverend Abedi Boateng, has resumed work. He went out for a leave, a long leave, and he's back. He resumed work yesterday. Shall we all welcome him? So you hear his voice from tomorrow. He'll be preaching. Amen. Right. So two things here. That if you get tired racing or running with men, how can you run with horsemen? So we are talking about the natural putting side by side with the supernatural. Or we are talking about the ordinary putting side by side with the extraordinary. And if you are going to keep pace with just the ordinary, then you are not going to fulfill the purpose of God. But if you really want to get connected to that which God has for you, and then you need to begin to learn how to run with horses. It does not take physical strength, wittiness, to be able to move with horses. It takes the strength of God. Hallelujah. It is God who gives power to the weak, and he gives strength to the weary. Even youth in their own strength will get weary, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. And they will be able to run without getting weary, and they will be able to soar, and they'll be able to achieve and fulfill the purpose of God for their lives. Hallelujah. So you've got to do that. You need to really wait upon the Lord. And we considered Elijah, the ordinary man, doing the extraordinary feat. And with Elijah, we considered his background, that he had no ancestral connection. His father's name was not mentioned, not even his hometown. His introduction was very simple and straight: Elijah the Tishbite. So it doesn't matter where you are coming from. It doesn't matter your background. The name that you have, what matters is the substance that you hold. Praise the Lord. The next thing we considered was about Elijah's name. We know that he was just an ordinary man coming from an isolated place. That is Gilead. Very isolated, not very sophisticated. But he carried a very powerful name. The name Elijah, as we saw last week, came from about three words. That is El-I-Jah. And the El is the Elohim, God. And the I is mine in Hebrew. And the Jah is Jehovah. Putting it together, you get the name Elijah. That is, God is my God. You see, that was his conviction and his mission. that God is my God. The Lord God is my God. I don't care where I'm coming from. I don't care the circumstances I find myself. What I know is I have a God. Praise the Lord. And we also considered his message. The message was just straightforward, very simple, and short, without elaborate introduction. He just moved on. As long as the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no rain nor dew, except by my word. That was it. Hallelujah. And we developed three things out of his message. Number one, Elijah was very conscious that the God that he serves was alive. Amen. Are you understanding me? He had that consciousness that he was not serving a dead God. I am serving a living God. As long as my God liveth, praise the Lord. I want to ask you a question. Who is your God? Is your God alive or dead? Elijah said, my God liveth. Praise the Lord. The next thing is, Elijah also, the next point in the message, he said he's the God of Israel. Praise the Lord. At that time, Israel had been sold to Baal. And Elijah said, I have come to confront this issue, and I am bringing to you a God who is more than Baal. And that God is the God of this nation, Israel. This nation does not belong to Baal. Amen. This week, that is what we are going to do. We are going to declare to the witches and the wizards, the idols and others, that the nation Ghana does not belong to them. So Ghana is not going to be shaped by their conviction. We will shape the destiny of our nation. At least for the next 4 years, Ghana will be on course. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's what we are going to do. Elijah said, God is the God of Israel. Israel doesn't belong to Baal. Amen. Number three, the third thing we considered from the message is, Elijah said, before whom I stand. Praise God. He was that convinced that he was the representative of God. And therefore, when he speaks, the whole heaven is backing him. Are you conscious of that? That wherever you stand, God is backing you. Praise the Lord. And the message, it was a prayer commanding faith that there shall be no rain nor dew except by my word. Amen. No rain nor dew except by my word. Let me use the handheld. Probably that will help me a little bit. Praise. Hallelujah. Switch it on. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, man, what's going on there? Hallelujah. Amen. You guys, you don't know what I'm going through, you know. You wouldn't just sit down there and be insensitive. raised it to the fig tree. He commanded, and it died. In this life, we will also confront issues, and when we confront issues, we must issue that kind of command. Nothing will move unless you speak. If you are going to sit down without releasing the power, nothing is going to work for you. Hallelujah. When God created heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, even God himself was confronted with challenges. But the good news is, he knew how to handle it. The Spirit was moving all right, and nothing happened till God spoke. So Jesus said, "Very, very, I say unto you, whosoever shall say, Amen." It didn't say whosoever shall cry or murmur or groan. Whosoever shall say. So any ordinary Christian against a mountain, you must speak. And when you speak, you level your mountain. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ with the disciples in the boat confronted with boisterous storm. The Bible says Jesus commanded and he stayed. And he asked, "Where is your faith?" So you've got to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Pastor Steve, come and sit at the pastor's seat. And that's the London pastor, you know. Let's receive him. Praise the Lord. So that is it. There. So, hallelujah. Man, praise the Lord. Declaration. That's what we considered last week. And number two, he also lived according to his name. That is his purpose. The name that was given to him was his purpose. And he lived by that name. He did not compromise on that. He lived by that name. The Bible says, after he had issued the command, the word of God came to him and said he should go to the brook Cherith. There the Lord will feed him. And God fed him supernaturally by ravens. Amen. And when that provision was exhausted, God asked him to go to a widow who had nothing to feed him. And when the widow obeyed the voice, let me tell you, church, if you refuse to obey the instructions given to you by your pastor, you are not going to prosper. Amen. Anytime you decide to be a member of a church and commit yourself to the church, then it means that you've agreed to listen to the command and the instruction of your pastor. Amen. We don't bring democracy to church. If you come to church, it means that you have surrendered everything to God and you are ready to obey instructions from God. Sometimes the instructions don't make sense. This woman was going to die with the little that she had with the child. And the man of God said, "Bring it to me and let me eat first." Does it make sense? But that was her deliverance. That is obedience. Obedience don't always make sense. Amen. Did you get me? Sometimes it doesn't make sense. But that is the test of your obedience. Praise the Lord. That God says so, and I want to do that. And when he was in the house of the widow, the Bible says the child of this woman died. So Elijah was marveled. How can this happen when I'm here? He said, bring me your dead child. And he took the child into the inner room. That is what the Lord is telling you today. That bring me your dead marriage. Bring me your dead business. Bring me your dead issue. And let life move through it. That was Elijah. A horseman. The man with supernatural ability. And that day, the Lord performed an unprecedented miracle. Do you know what? In the Bible, that was the first time a dead person was raised to life. The meaning is, God is doing a new thing. And most of the new things that he does, he performed them through our commitment to obey. And the more serious is, even in the midst of our problems, when those things we see as destructive work of the devil, God uses it to perform new things. Consider not the old things. Behold, I am doing a new thing. So when you are in a big fix, when the problems are so hard, that is when you begin to look up to God for new things. And after this, the word of God came again to Elijah to go and show himself to Ahab. Amen. And he went and did that. He met Obadiah. And Obadiah told him to go and tell Ahab that he was coming. And he said, look, you, I know you. The Spirit can pick you and land you somewhere. You are some mystical man. And I can't trust that. He said, you go and do so. So Elijah came and organized a contest at Mount Carmel. That's where the second point is. And he told the people, enough of limping between two beliefs and faith. If God is God, serve him. And if Baal is God, serve him. So Elijah, by his name, God is my God. And he put the challenge that if that God is God today, serve him. The Bible says the people didn't mind him. They said nothing. Sometimes words alone cannot bring the conviction you need. Sometimes you need to go beyond just mere words. Hallelujah. And it's okay. Let us bring our sacrifices. And I give the Baal worshippers the option to do it first. The whole day. They were chanting, jumping, doing everything. And it didn't work. The Bible said they did it as much as even cutting themselves. Some of them fell dead. It didn't work. And it came to the time of evening sacrifice. And Elijah took his turn. He said, look, make the problem more serious. Pour water. Make it impossible. So that when it happens, it wouldn't be like it was a manipulation. Pour
water. Look, if you have that kind of conviction, you don't fear the impossible. Because the impossibles are the working place for God's miracle. Hallelujah. He said, make it more difficult. Brethren, when the enemy begins to make things more difficult, it means that you are marked out for a miracle. When the situation is such that it will only take a miracle for it to happen, it means you are bringing God inside. When you can use any other means to solve it, it is not a miracle. Hallelujah. And so, when things are tough, don't give up. Keep trusting God. Let it draw you near to God. And look at what Elijah said. God, I have done all these things according to your word. Now, answer me. And immediately, the fire came down. And the fire burned everything, licked all the water, and destroyed everything. Consumed all the sacrifice. And look at what the people say. God, he is God. That is Elijah's name. He lived by his name. And he affected the people with that name. God, he is God. My goodness. People who initially did not answer him, when they saw the fire, they could not but to shout, God, he is God. Do you know the meaning? It means that they had decided for God against Baal. Hallelujah. God, he is God. My goodness, if you are going to affect people's life, then you need to do that. Praise the Lord. Bringing down the hand of God that will affect change and affect people's life. Let me quickly move on to my last point, the third one. Elijah affected his generation. Praise the Lord. You see that, you move to chapter 18 of 1 Kings. When Elijah told his servant to let Ahab know that he should get himself ready and go to Jezreel. Praise the Lord. Because he's heard the abundance of rain, the sound of a distant thunder. Something is rumbling in the spiritual realm. Though people don't hear it, Elijah said, I can hear the rumblings of the rain. It is about to unleash. It is about to fall. So Ahab, get ready and go. Hallelujah. And he sent his disciple to go and look. He went and he saw nothing. Sometimes you can conceive something, but physically, there is nothing like that. When it comes to that, don't give up. The Bible says he put his head in between his legs and he started praying for 7 times. The servant should go. That is persistence. If you really want to touch the heart of God and bring to pass his supernatural power, then you need to persist. Miracles have no place for weak-hearted people. People who easily give up. When the going is tough, they just let it go. They will never experience the miracle of God. Hello? Elijah persisted. The Bible says Elijah was a man like you and I. And what he did, what? He prayed that it would not rain. And it happened. And two, he prayed that it should. And it did. And how did he pray? Persistent prayer. Amen. Hello? That is it. And immediately there was the cloud everywhere, rumbling, thunder. And Elijah told Ahab, run, because it will fall very soon. Before Ahab sitting on chariots and running at top speed, the Bible says Elijah outran him. That is the message. Running with horsemen. That human being with weak power and others was able to outrun a chariot. It is just by the supernatural power. Hallelujah. And you move to chapter 19. When Jezebel heard it, she issued threats. Jezebel was a deadly woman who would never settle for anything but what she wants. And if you stand her way, she will meet you with an unprecedented emergency and make sure that she will crush you. So Jezebel said, I'm going to kill this man tomorrow by this time. I will make your life like one of the prophets, the Baal prophets you kill. Amen. And look at Elijah. After all the miracles and others, he started running away. That's how it is. Look. If you don't maintain your stand in the Lord, no matter who you are, once you look into the physical, you will come down. So Elijah was running away for his life. The Bible says he went to the wilderness of Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and he left his servant there. And from Beersheba, he moved into the wilderness for one day journey. And he settled at a juniper tree, sitting under a juniper tree, calling upon God, that God, let me die. I want to die. And he slept. So God came into the scene, and he brought him food and drink. He was praying for death. And God gave him what he needed. God is saying by implication, you don't need to die. You need to live. Eat something. Drink something. And relax. If you don't feed on the word, if you don't drink the spirit of prayer, you will become dry. And the enemy will attack you with depression. You say, I'm depressed. I don't feel like going to church. Many people, that's how they are. Every Sunday morning, they move into a bad mood. Today, I don't feel like. Yeah, that's true, because you are empty. You are dried up. That's why you don't feel like. Even Elijah dried. And God said, eat something. Drink something. And relax. So because the journey ahead of you is long, you have a lot to do. You are not just going to die. That should be your determination. Don't die just like that. You don't have to die for nothing. You must die for something. This reminds me, a year after 9/11, The then President Bush went to Pennsylvania. The plane that fell there, and people said it was going to the White House. When they called their relatives and they found out that some of the planes have hit certain historical landmarks in Israel, they said, look, we will never allow them to take our body to go and destroy White House. And therefore, let us force the plane down so that we die and save the White House. So President Bush recommended them and said, these are the people who did not die for nothing. They died for a cause. Are you understanding me? That's what the Bible is saying. God told Elijah, you don't need to die for nothing. You've got to die for a cause, and therefore you are not going to die. You've got to eat something, drink something, and relax because you have so much to achieve. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God has so much for you to achieve in life. Don't just die. Amen. And look at, and God said, look, walk to the Mount Hermon. Herod. I'm going to talk to you. Elijah went into a cave. And the voice of God came once again and said, look, Elijah, what are you doing here? What's your purpose in the cave? Come out of the cave and stand on the mountain. Cave is anything that puts limitation on you. And most of us are in our caves, limited by troubles, challenges, and others. And we don't know what to do, so we want to hide ourselves. Come out. Tell somebody, I'm coming out of my cave. I'm coming out of my cave. The limitation that the enemy has placed on me, I shake it off. I'm coming out of that cave, that darkness, that obscurity, that which the enemy has put on me. I am coming out of it. I hear the voice of God, and I'm coming out. Hallelujah. That's what you should be doing. You've got to come out of that limitation and shake that chains off. Praise the Lord. And when he stood on the high hill or the mountain, there was a thunder, there was an earthquake, and there was fire, but God was not in it. You see, if you want to go far, seek that intimate relationship that will cause you to hear his voice. It's not about feelings. Thundering, fire, and earthquake are all feelings. But God was not in it. But there's still small voice. Hello? And God, Elijah said, the voice asked Elijah. Once again, Elijah said, look, Jezebel has killed all your prophets, and I'm the only one left, and she wants to kill me. God, I don't need to live. Let me die. I'm no better than my fathers. I want to die. And God said, you cannot die like that. Go and anoint Elisha, the son of Nimshi, in your place. That's the first reason why you don't just have to die. You need to affect generations. The people that are coming after you, you need to affect their lives. You need replacement before you check out of here. Otherwise, you aren't going anywhere. Stick around and fulfill his purpose. Hallelujah. You don't need to go. You must anoint Elisha to continue the work. Who are you raising in the Lord? You've been a Christian for a very long time and you have never influenced anybody. You are still a babe. Somebody will have to pick a phone and call you before you come to church. Somebody will have to send you text message before you come to church. Somebody will have to prop you up before you come to church. That's a shame. What did I say? It's a shame. That is S-H-A-M-E. Shame, shame, shame. That's for the children, you know. Hallelujah. If you are here and you are like that, I'm talking to you. Amen. And what did the pastor say? Tell somebody, tell that person. Pastor says what? I didn't say it. It's your neighbor who told you that. Did you hear it from my voice? No. Praise the Lord. God says, you aren't going anywhere. You've got to anoint Elisha. That's the first thing. I need to affect generations. I have so much to release to people that are coming after me. I have so much to release to people, and therefore I've got to do that. My vision is not just about surviving. It's not just about blessing me. It's not just about me. My vision is transcend just me. I am affecting other people. I am affecting the younger ones. I am affecting those who are coming. I want to impart. I want to put something in them. I need to affect the Elishas. I need my Elisha before I check out of here. Hello. Who is your Elisha? You may say, well, Elijah was a man and me, I'm a woman, and therefore I don't need any Elisha. Probably you need Elishana. Isn't it right? Probably you need what? Elishana. You see, most of the names, when they put na, then it becomes female. Augustine. Augustina. Hallelujah. All right. David. Mm-hmm. So Elisha. That's my own name. Hello? All right. I'm checking with the time. Don't worry. Most of you came late anyway. And so I have the liberty to delay you. But the second, service is coming on. If not that one, I'm going to relax and delay you so that you pay for coming to church late. Amen. That thing is becoming unbecoming. People who come to church late is bad. Bad somebody, Charlie, the thing is bad. Bad, oh, bad. But we've got to do something about it. The next thing. You are not only going to affect the future generations. He said, go and anoint Jehu, who also be king. Look, let me tell you. You need to affect generals, important people, kings. God wants you to affect their lives. If you haven't done that, don't check out. It means that there is limitation on you. Shake it off and begin to affect people who are ahead of you. God said, Elijah, you know what? There are some Jehus, revolutionists, sitting somewhere. They are waiting for you to affect their lives. Who told you Jezebel can kill you? Jezebel cannot kill you. She is only issuing empty threats. You need to stay put and begin to do what I want you to do, because there are some Jehus you have to affect their lives. Hallelujah. In the other way, God was saying, you've got to do something before you die. Maybe we can put it like this. JJ. You can put your name there. Vida. Vida Nye. Hallelujah. And not only that, he said, you should also go and anoint Hazael in room of Ben-Hadad in Syria. That means you have an international ministry assignment. That's the good way. You have an international assignment. Your business is just around Fadama. And you say, that is enough. No. You've got to cross the borders of this nation and affect people in other nations. Complacency is killing people. It is limiting us and confining us in little things, because we don't see the greater picture. God is saying, you haven't done anything yet. You need to affect Syria. You are going to anoint somebody in Syria who will also rise up and be a king and promote my agenda in Syria. It is not only in Israel. Hallelujah. You see the picture? It's a very large picture. And you don't just have to sit down and let it die like that. Oh my goodness. Praise the Lord. And finally, there are 7,000 people who have never bowed to Baal. These are the people who are looking up to you. If you die, you have disappointed them. They've never bowed to that Baal. You think you are alone. You are not alone. So many people, about 7,000 of them, they are waiting for you to do something. And you are sitting here talking about death. Oh, you haven't seen anything yet. 7,000 people. I'm here to tell you today, so many people are looking up to you. Don't disappoint them. You don't know the people who are waiting on you. And if you don't know anything, the book of Romans 8 says that the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the people of God, to begin to manifest themselves. They are all waiting to take inspiration from you. Hallelujah. If you leave it like that, you are disappointing a host of people. You don't want to disappoint them. You've got to do something. You've got to affect people's life. You are not alone. It is not just about you. It is about other people. It is not just about you. It is about people who don't have the opportunity to touch God. They are seeing God through you. And what are you doing about it? Elijah, don't just die. Don't let Jezebel drive you crazy. You have an assignment to fulfill for God. Hallelujah. And when Elijah did that, the Bible says, after all these things, he anointed Elisha. And God said, now that you have fulfilled your purpose, you are not just going to die. I'm going to take you up with the chariot of fire. I'm going to take you up with the horsemen. Hallelujah. So God brought his own chariot from heaven to take Elijah away to heaven. That's the man who ran with horsemen. Supernatural being. Extraordinary man. Whatever he did was extraordinary. So when Jesus Christ showed up on the mountain of transfiguration, the Bible says Elijah was there with him. My goodness. Hallelujah. He was not only riding with horsemen, he was also riding with the top man, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. On the Mount of Transfiguration, we saw that Elijah rubbing shoulders with our Lord, and he was there with him. And even Peter and Co. wanted to build some tabernacles and worship them. Why? Because this man stood for something. He accomplished something, and God honored him. And today, we still talk about such a man. What are you doing for God? You've been in the Lord for quite a long time. You have never accomplished anything. You are still behaving as a babe. Today, I call upon you to begin to put down that attitude and begin to open up yourself for God to touch your life so that you will be able to run with horsemen. You will not be counted among just mere men, normal men, people who are not achieving anything. They are just bearing, going through life. No, it is not about that. It is about people who really mean something and they want to accomplish the purpose of God. That is where you belong, and you've got to do that. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. I want you to quickly say this after me. I don't want to take much time. Quickly say this after me. As we establish our heart on it, lift up your hands. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, today I resolve to run with horsemen. In the name of Jesus, I put off every mediocrity, the desire just to be normal. I want to establish something like Elijah, affect kings, affect generals, affect generations, and affect the unsung heroes. In the name of Jesus, my assignment is not just local. It is international. Empower me, oh Lord. Strengthen me, oh Lord, to be able to mount up with eagle wings and soar in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Father, I pray for thy people. Spirit of God, move upon us. Take away our weakness and fill us with our strength so that we will be able to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.